Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And today we have a slightly smaller, so let's say a more intimate panel, because Ian has schedule conflicts. He can't join us today. He won't be with us for the next few episodes, but don't worry, he'll be back. He'll be back.
You know what he's doing? He's exercising. Away. No, he's exercising. He signed up for like a 6-week exercise plan.
No, it's good for him. Has? Sorry? Oh. Who's done that?
Ian.
Ian, all right.
Six-week business plans, he said. Yeah.
I see how it is.
No, it's good. It's good. Like, I'm just joking a little bit. No, it's good. Like, it's always good to do something for yourself. So
it is. It is. And so while Ian will be exercising, improving his health, improving his body, we will be sitting here with microphones on our faces. Yeah.
We need an exercise podcast for our health.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm standing at least. But
at least you're standing. So there's that. I have stopped putting sugar in stuff, so you know.
I thought you would say I'm breathing oxygen.
I'm breathing oxygen, not as much as you, but I am breathing oxygen.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, you're higher up, sure. Oh my god.
So Patrice
went off the rails.
rails where we're going, we don't need any rails.
That's true.
Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a shorter week because Monday was a public holiday here. I think when most of Europe, US doesn't do it, but most of Europe does. It's been a very busy week because we had our quarterly planning this morning. For me, three teams that I'm responsible for and two that I should directly plan with, but I just delegated that because I just couldn't do that. But it's been a good week, and I'm looking really, you can imagine, really looking forward to the weekend. I'm like, I have some plans, and then next week I'm in Poland, so like we have a VP meeting coming up in the lovely city of Lublin, Poland, which is not too far from the Ukrainian border, so that will be interesting.
Yeah,
it's a nice city. It's a really nice city. Like, I mean, if you're ever in that area, definitely worth paying a visit.
Awesome. Well, I hope you have a fun trip.
I will.
Awesome. And speaking of fun, Rich, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I've had a really quiet, dull week in which nothing of interest has happened.
It sounds so great.
Which is sometimes a good thing. You know, so okay. I'm not gonna complain, but I don't know. I'm ready for something to happen now. I'm a bit bored. I'm just trying to find a news story to talk about tonight. It's like nothing's happened.
I got like eight.
A quiet week. You have eight.
Yeah, okay. I got like eight. But your T-shirt is awesome.
T-shirt is fantastic.
Yeah. It's another QWERTY one. They're having a sale right now, and I'm out of spending money for the month.
Oh, no.
It's annoying. But it's not easy. They're down to £4 each, but I want 12 of them. That's the problem.
You need to talk to your like CFO to get some more spending.
I do. I need sponsoring. That's what I need.
Yeah, that's
at this point.
Sponsoring would be nice. Yeah, that would help a lot.
Yeah. I could just this t-shirt
is presented to you by QWERTY.
Exactly. Look, I could have a little scrolling lower third on the video that pops up every so often. It'd be easy.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Well, it's great to have you here, and it's great to have your awesome shirts and your issues finding a story that interested you. I can appreciate that. And this week, so many of the stories that I was finding that would probably otherwise be interesting enough for me to tag into Instapaper so that I'd have them for today. I just kept going by them like, yeah.
Yeah, there were some of those. I mean, like I said, I have like 2, 4, 2, 4, 6, 7 stories. Like I have one about Oreos. and you can have Rich, like if you want, for example. Like someone actually.
I think I saw that Oreo story. Yeah. I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, you, that was super interesting.
I feel like I need to go a lot, do a Google search on Oreos.
There's a lot going on with Netflix. So that's definitely a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like
I've got a metaverse one that might let me make fun of Mark Zuckerberg for a bit. Oh, so I'm going to hold on to that one for now.
That's a good one. Like, let's do that. I'm always for that.
All right. Well, someone toss a story in, and we'll pretend we're talking about only one thing.
And I did. I was faster this time.
So, Patrice. Amazon will let merchants sell goods with Prime benefits on their own site. The jokes almost write themselves.
They do, yeah.
Prime with benefits.
Prime with benefits, yeah. So it's called actually Buy with Prime, but it should actually we should send an email to whoever is in charge of Amazon now, because it's not Jeff anymore. It's not your namesake right anymore. Namesake, yeah.
Right.
The other Jeff, the not so famous Jeff.
Right.
Because you're the famous Jeff, so.
Right. He's the not as famous Jeff that needs to reevaluate some of his life choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We should send them a message and tell them like it should be Prime with benefits.
I agree. I mean, it's just like perfect. I mean, you have Netflix and chill, Prime with benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I saw this, I was like, I don't get how they're going to do that. Like, it's called Buy with Prime, and basically it allows people who have a Prime subscription, which right now you can use on Amazon.com, to like also order on other sites. Other merchants who ship products using Amazon's warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still fulfilled by Amazon, but you can basically advertise it on your own website now. So like, I don't know, Best Buy, for example, could now say, hey, we're offering Buy with Prime. Mm-hmm. And if you have Prime, you get whatever, faster shipping. And Amazon actually is the one fulfilling it. So it kind of makes sense and it kind of doesn't. I mean, why does Amazon have to do that at all?
It makes sense to me from a retailer standpoint. And I'm speaking as someone that years ago, I spent a lot of time working in the retail space.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought you would say, you're saying that it's someone who orders a lot of stuff on Amazon. No.
Oh, that's current tense.
I think that's all of us anyway.
Yeah, that's like my Echo bleeps at me almost every day to let me know that my package is arriving. And oftentimes I'm like, I wonder which one that is.
What did I even order?
Right. Yeah. But doing something like this, to me, it makes sense because Amazon, they want to be your retailer as a consumer. So if they're going to be doing fulfillment for other retailers anyhow, why not give them the hooks so that these other retailers can just have shopping carts on their own sites that are just going right back into the Amazon system? Mm-hmm. And granted, in this case, it's for the products that company sells, and it's just fulfilled through Amazon. So if they're doing that, why not give those retailers a way to handle transactions directly on their website instead of doing the thing where you click the button and then it takes you to the retailer's page on Amazon?
Mm.
They're taking out an extra step. And for consumers, it's now that much easier to order directly from Amazon. And for the retailers, it's now another tool to keep them hooked more into the Amazon ecosystem.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. I mean, for Amazon, I'm still not sure it's a big benefit. Because I mean, honestly, most people these days just go to Amazon. It's rare that you go to someone else's website first and then buy it through that. Like, I think most people nowadays just, I mean, go to Amazon and just order it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless people don't like Amazon at all, which there are some, there's an entire country of people who are like, at least some part is, doesn't like Amazon. It's called Germany. No, I'm kidding. But Amazon is big in Germany as well. But I said, from Amazon's perspective, I'm not so sure. From the retailer's perspective, I can totally understand that. I was just thinking when you talked about it, like Anchor and, I mean, Anchor is an Amazon company anyway, but Anchor and I think Elgato, for example, as far as I remember, when you go to their website and say, I want to order whatever, some gadget, they actually send you to the Amazon store.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a lot of big electrical people. I hate that, to be honest.
Yeah, but now they don't have to. They can literally have you do it on their site, and then just there's a buy with Prime button, and you click it, and it's like pay with Amazon, which I think is already a thing, mm-hmm. or pay with PayPal or whatever. It just goes through Amazon on the back end.
No.
So it makes sense. Yeah, you're right. As I said, from Amazon's perspective, I'm not so sure. But I mean, on the other hand, if they want like 100% of all, like sales online, for at least for physical goods, then maybe this is the way.
Yeah. Yes. And the thing, Rich, that you said, you hate it when you go to a website and you click to buy and then you're dumped into the Amazon mm-hmm. page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that you're not the only person mm-hmm. that feels that way. For me, I will sometimes go to a product manufacturer's website to find exactly what I'm looking for, because it will be a much more efficient searching experience than trying to find the same product with Amazon search on their site.
Yeah.
And then when I'll check their pricing and then go to Amazon and see if I can get it faster.
Mm-hmm.
And now this way I can just click the thing and buy it.
Yeah. Or I mean, people like us, we are already like on the, whatever, we are already on the Elgato or on the Eve home page or on mm-hmm. the CalDigit page or whatever. We're already there because we're looking at the specs and we're reading through the materials and whatever. And then, yeah. Like, why make it more complicated?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Makes sense. Yeah, but I said, when I first saw it, I was like, this, I don't know why Amazon would have to do that. Because I said, they probably already have an 80% market share. I'm not sure that's true. I think like Target and Walmart in the US are probably still pretty big. But
yes, and they've both been working to make their online shopping experience more comparable to what Amazon is doing.
Yeah, and I mean, then I'm just thinking there's Best Buy and B&H, which a lot of people order from. There mm-hmm. are some alternatives, but I'm pretty sure Amazon still has like the lion's share of all online sales.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So in that sense, while this is potentially really convenient for consumers and can make for a more seamless buying experience for the retailers, this is also insidious because it's another mm-hmm. point where Amazon becomes the primary point for sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make Amazon more money, make us spend more.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's also another thing that they can get other people to embed in their websites that they can then track users traveling from website to website and gather that kind of data as well.
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. Yeah. It's not even anti-competitive because the retailer is embedding it themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's their version mm-hmm. of an embedded tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's true.
Well, yep. I guess this means that even more of my purchases will be happening through Amazon than already are, which is saying something, because there's so many retailers local that I've had to stop using because they choose to not carry the products that I want. And they're mm-hmm. limiting their inventories to, you know, like a couple things that they feel are their biggest sellers, and then they don't carry anything else. And like, for example, the deodorant I buy, I can't buy it locally anymore. I have to get it through Amazon. And it's okay. And it's not even like some obscure thing. It's one of the Arid products.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just shows you how much power Amazon has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, local retailers just don't want to deal with the inventory anymore.
Right.
You know, inventory is usually the thing that's the hardest. Mm-hmm. Because you have to buy it and pay for it and store it and check it and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there you go. I guess I'm buying more from Amazon now.
Yeah, and the Amazon robots just do all for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You'd think I would know my delivery people by name now, but no.
Aren't those all robots now?
I'm assuming
the Seattle area.
Yeah. Well, around here, yeah. If they're robots, they are robots that were purchased from Westworld.
Oh, okay.
Because they look stunningly realistic.
Yeah, just saw a friend of mine posted, like, she's in the Seattle area, and she posted, I think it was her, she posted a video of, like, those little driving
mm-hmm.
robot things that deliver.
It's like a little igloo cooler with a camera mm-hmm. on it. And,
yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there were even two of them, and one of them got stuck somehow. That was funny.
Oh, poor little
and
robot.
And you were looking at it exactly the same direction. You're like, oh.
Oh, poor little robot. All right, Rich, did you decide on a story?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the metaverse one. Where are we? Sorry, I'm so disorganized. Oh, no, I've done the thing where you click in your address bar and press the wrong button and it resets it. And then
been there, done
sorry.
That.
Yeah, there we go. It's in the chat room. Okay, Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse. What's it called? Horizon World Social Metaverse Platform. God, I want to be sick when I say that. In a row. They're bringing it to a website. Yay! Oh, that means I'm going to start using it because I still want to walk around a virtual world. Now, what I'm confused about, they're talking about fees in this article, that the Meta is only using a 25% fee to have something on there.
Oh, that's...
Is that their plan?
No, it's actually up to 50%.
Yeah, it's 50%.
And by have something on there, right? I'm assuming this is like the equivalent of like having a Facebook page.
No, this is like you want to buy content in the metaverse. Like you want to buy a new skin for your avatar or
right, whatever. That kind of thing. Right, okay. Oh God, it's so boring and... It's so 1996. It's just so...
It is. I mean, Second Life kind of comes to mind. I actually know someone who worked on that, so it's really funny. I met someone who worked on that.
It's is like, Second Life still running? Have I asked that question before? I feel like I have.
I think so. I think it still is.
Because they should be getting in on this. They are. They're still there.
There it is.
You think, well, you know, where's
you would think it's been dead, but no.
Now, you see, in from my perspective, not being someone that's using Second Life at all right now, Second Life would be better because at least you have legs.
Yeah,
and in the metaverse, you've been cut off at the waist.
Yeah, I mean that's yeah. Yeah, I mean, legs are definitely better.
Right. Yeah, and even the Wii characters that we made all those years ago with the original Wii, they had legs.
They mm-hmm. did, didn't they? I miss those.
The Sims had legs.
The Sims had legs. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like, I mean, that's the ultimate, like when I saw what Facebook or Meta what's the charge for it? That was like the ultimate thing. That's like they're railing against Apple charging money and all of that. And then they charge 47% or 47.5, I think, at the maximum. Up to, I should say, because it's not always. But I think the minimum is like 30. So,
do you know, I didn't know it was up and running at all. And I'm just watching somebody use it on YouTube for the first time. You are getting my first reaction to.
To what? To Second Life?
to Horizon Worlds.
Oh, to Horizon Worlds. Okay. I was thinking, like, Rich is like 15 years too late. Second Life was like, 2000.
He's going to post about it on his MySpace.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Or GeoCities.
I think GeoCities is better. Better for that.
So it's a VR shooting game at the moment. This person's playing.
Yeah.
And that's all. Oh, now something. And you can. It is exactly what I thought it would be, and it looks painful and upsetting. And it's
exactly as stupid as it sounded, right?
I really begrudge Mark Zuckerberg his money. I really do. I'm just so angry at him. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, fine. You did something. Okay. Even Jeff Bezos, I couldn't have built Amazon. That was quite well done there. But this, come on. Oh, this just makes me... I can't do another Metaverse story again ever because this just makes me angry. This just makes me angry.
Next week, back to Windows 11.
Back to Windows 11, which is actually cool off on winding me up.
That's because now you've discovered Metaverse.
Yeah, yes. There's... It's like I had a headache, but then I banged my toe, and now I'm more worried about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my god!
And I don't want to use this. God, don't let this take off, please. I worry now because it's obviously a crap idea. But when did that stop anything from happening these days? That's mm-hmm. usually what we seem to gravitate towards at the moment. My it's god.
True. Yeah, and I mean anything that removes us from the reality that we live in, 100% is something that's going to happen.
Oh God, Horizon! This is the Donald Trump Brexit of the future of the web.
I laugh only because I would otherwise have to cry. Because yeah, mm-hmm. you're right.
Yeah, it's like let's do this. No, don't. It's obviously a shit idea. But how do you know? Because it's obviously a shit idea. Like, come on.
If it was so obvious, why are so many people investing in it?
Because they think money. I think that's why. I think they think money. And I think they've forgotten that this has been tried so many times and it's just an awful idea.
Yes, but each company says, but this time it'll be different.
Yeah, we will make it different.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Also, you know, when you see other people that I've probably said this before that you respect a lot more not going in on it, when Tim Cook has looked at this and said, nah, we're going to do this, you think, okay, let's do what Tim did, because Tim's right. probably a really clever guy.
Yeah.
And over on the other side is Mark.
But I'm pretty sure Tim Cook is doing the same thing. He's saying, okay, this is shit, but we're going to do our own thing.
Yeah, but he's going AR. Which I think is a much better idea. That I've got a lot more, because at least that's going out. That's enhancing reality. That's not
we'll see about that.
Separate thing. We'll see how well it does. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I mean, the truth is, I'm not actually excited about AR or VR. It's I'm just trying to pick a side, and I'll pick Tim over Mark.
Sure. Yeah. It's like Meta should change their tagline. I don't even know what their tagline is, but they should change it. They should say Meta. Obviously a bad idea.
Yeah.
That should be a plaque in the atrium at their headquarters. Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like their current tagline is just the shrugging emoji.
It kind of is. Huh. Well, now I can't unsee that. Wow.
What do you do? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever.
Metaverse. What's the metaverse? Oh, it's exciting. No, that's not an answer. That's not an answer.
No. Yeah, the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the thing. We're trying not to call it the thing we called it last time because you didn't like it last time. So metaverse. Yeah.
Well, it does sound sexier when you say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
The metaverse.
It does. And I know there is some NFT stuff that's trying to make money out of this, like selling land in games and that kind of thing. And occasionally you'll see a news story of somebody has smoked a lot of weed and bought a lot of land in this game.
Yep.
Because they had money to burn.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I mentioned Second Life. That was a massive thing. I remember our university bought land in Second Life and built like buildings and stuff.
Because everything was going to happen. Everything was going to happen in Second Life. We were going to go to concerts. We were going to see movie premieres. Yeah. We were going to mix with celebrities and live next door to Snoop Dogg. It was going to be amazing. And no.
I mean, for us, it was more, I think it was not the university, it was just a department, the computer science department. But for them, it was just interesting thing to try out. So again, they probably had some money to burn.
A university buying into something like Second Life, I could see that being done as part of an academic program where they're doing research and studying how people are interacting in the space. And
we had entire courses like where we went into Second Life to like figure out how it's working and stuff like that. There were like a couple of modules about that. So I said, I remember that. That's what I'm saying. It was like 2007, maybe. Been a long time.
Good times. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is going to happen. And I mean, if you've ever seen Ready Player One or Ready Player Two, /Red, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very likely, at least.
And even though this technology has been around for years, we're in the infancy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels to me like a very rough infancy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not excited about Facebook's VR world at all.
Because it's Facebook. Like, if it was another company, I would like, if Microsoft was doing it, I would be like, yeah, it could be interesting. But it's Facebook. They're gonna F it up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah.
Do you know what? In all honesty, like 30-40% of me thinks we will never see this. Like, nothing will ever come of it.
From the Facebook thing, probably not.
Yeah.
Technology, VR, I'm pretty sure. Because, I mean...
Oh, yeah, VR,
like someone talked on some Star Trek podcast. It was some podcast, like, last 2 weeks that I listened to. Someone talked about it, like, about the holodeck, and that the holodeck probably will never happen the way we think.
You may very well have been listening to Brian and me on Context Machine.
That could be. It's like I'm.
Because that sounds like the conversation we had.
Exactly, and that was so spot on. I was like, I mean, I think the argument was, and I totally agreed. The second we figure out how to beam anything into our brains, we don't need a holodeck.
You're definitely listening to us.
Yeah,
that was Brian's point.
Yeah, I just remember it was about Star Trek, and I remember there was something. Yeah, okay, that was, I said, and that was so spot on. Because it's exactly it. And that's why I'm thinking VR or anything like it will probably happen, because we're not that far off. I mean, not that far off in even human scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not next year, but it's probably within, I don't know, let's say the next couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I mean, as I said, if we, I always say, if we survive that long.
And because that's a big gift.
It's not
right
guaranteed
now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The concept of the holodeck, I am absolutely enamored with it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But the reality is, like Brian said, by the time we have the technology to actually do that, mm-hmm. like we see it in Star Trek, it will be obsolete because we will have better, more efficient ways to do that, like plugging our brains right into the system.
Yeah, we can to some extent already do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not that far off.
Right.
So
just don't let Elon Musk be in charge of that, because so far all we've seen from him are
nightmares.
Nightmares, right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. No, it's, I said very likely. That's why I said, like, especially Ready Player 2, if you've read it, I think this is the most likely scenario that we're going to go that way.
I really need to read Ready Player 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, I'm not going to give it away, but it's about plugging things into brains, basically. So, yeah, okay. I think we're doing that already. I mean, what are TV shows? What are movies? What are audiobooks? All of those are things where we want to retreat from reality for a little while. And VR is the same thing, just better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why, I mean, if we can overcome all the technical hurdles, and I think eventually we will, we're not that far off. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then it's on us to decide, I mean, what we're going to do with it, which probably means we're going to kill ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to find a way to make mm-hmm. it into the worst possible thing it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine ransomware for VR.
Oh, think of all the pop-up ads.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The autoplay videos right into your brain.
Mm-hmm.
See, this already sounds like a really bad idea.
Yeah,
see?
I'm not saying really it's a good idea. I'm just saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Mark, stop.
All right.
Somebody stop him.
What's your story, Jeff?
My story fits in nicely with the whole idea of the entertainment industry and escaping. Turns out when HBO Max launched, they knew full well that the apps that they were releasing for users to be able to access the content sucked ass.
For hot garbage.
Yeah, they were just straight up hot garbage, and they knew it. And and their feeling was, well, we just need to roll something out. And I totally get the MVP philosophy, because that's what you need so that you can actually roll a product out. But there's also a threshold where you're rolling out a minimum viable product, or you're rolling out hot garbage.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I mean, I've used the HBO app, but I'm not. I mean, it is crap compared to others. But if you really think about it, the product is not the app. The product is the content. And if you, I mean, yes, it's hard to get to the content. But once you're there, the product is good. And I think that's what made it work.
Their
subscriber numbers are showing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
People get used to the craziest things. So
they do. Yes. And I remember when those apps launched and they felt like kludges. Turns out they were, because they just took the apps they already had and bolted on a couple components to try and make them functional for what HBO Max was.
Yeah.
And yes, I tolerated the horrible experience that the apps were to get to the shows that I wanted to see.
Yeah. And they knew that, and it worked.
And it worked.
Did it turn away some people? Probably yes, but they knew that and probably factored that in.
Mm-hmm. I think part of what made it tolerable for me was I could start by going through their interface to find the show that I wanted to watch, like Westworld. And then they had put the hooks in so that their content would appear in the TV app on Apple TV. And at that point, I would just go to the TV app and watch the content from there and sidestep doing anything in HBO's app.
Yeah. And you know which two apps have the same problem right now? Paramount Plus and Hulu. I have the same problem. The discovery is horrible. Even the shows that I'm watching are hard to find, but I do exactly the same thing.
Yes.
I add it once and then go to the DBM.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, I mean, the server still works and Paramount Plus is still somewhat successful.
Well, yes. In Paramount Plus's case, they have an incredibly popular franchise with Star Trek.
Oh, they have a couple, actually, if you look at it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But in my case, it's Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And I have tolerated their app so that I can get at the content that I want and then look at it in a different interface.
Yeah.
But even simple things like a new episode has come out. And the only way to actually get to it isn't even to do a search. You have to go into the app and manually scroll through all of their shows to find it. And they don't come up in the same order all the time.
Yeah. Search works, but search, you get the app. The show. And when you tap on it, you land on season one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to navigate to the latest season and then scroll down to the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is hot garbage. But as I said, it just shows you that the minimum viable product can still work. I mean, if you're willing to like compromise and to like lose some people, it can still work. And I work in development. I totally respect that they're doing that, because I mean, sometimes you just have to ship something, because otherwise it's going to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going to be wrong. Like, that's the other problem. You ship something, even if you think it's perfect, it's not.
Yes. Yep. Mm. And in this case, they knew that it was not even close to perfect. And there's this thing in this article from Protocol that I use for my story today, where Sarah Lyons, she's the head of HBO Max product experience, where talking about the product launch, because her job is to make sure everyone had a good experience. And she knew what was coming with what they had to launch with. And she says, it was tough, agonizing. I poured my heart, my passion into this product and wanted it to be great. And she knew that what they had to work with at launch was a subpar experience.
I've shipped products like that. So I know exactly. I mean, I don't know if I know exactly how that feels like, because the products we shipped weren't that big. Like HBO Max is a couple scales different.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I can feel that, like where you pour everything into it and you know it can be great and it has great bones and everything, but you know what you're shipping in the first version isn't.
In the case of HBO Max, I mean, they actually have been working since they originally rolled out the apps to improve things. So like, it's at a point now where you can actually use their app on a Roku, where at launch you really couldn't. I mean, you can install the app, but the likelihood you'd actually be able to use it to watch any content was almost zero. And
that is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has been improving.
Mm.
And
I mean, I cannot think of a good streaming service app. All of them are garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just simply not an easy thing to do. Like, I couldn't even come up with something that's better. I can nitpick and say, oh, like if they did it this way, it would be a little bit better, like on an app by app basis. But like, if I had to come up with a completely new design, so like I could, like I had infinite resources and I could build the best. I don't think I could come up with it, because it's just a very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like infinite, almost infinite content and infinite possibilities and infinite likes. I mean, Netflix tried it and I don't think Netflix is good. I mean, they introduced the two thumbs up, so maybe it's better.
The two thumbs up. I mean, that fixes everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think with streaming service apps, as long as you don't actively annoy me and I can get to something, then we're good. The biggest barrier that streaming services face is being a streaming service. That's the biggest thing they all face. And as long as, you know, if they've got something that I desperately need to watch enough that I'm not just going to torrent it, then as long as they don't annoy me.
Yeah, but that's a different level. Like, there is not annoying you, and you're like, okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's still not a great experience.
Oh God, no. No, you're absolutely none of them. You're absolutely right. None of them are good. They're just there.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at it, I mean, Netflix tried over a long time and a lot of money. Apple tried. Completely garbage. Hulu, Amazon, I mean, Prime. Don't get me started on Prime. It's like
Prime. Yeah, I'm with you on Prime. That's a rough experience.
Yeah, it's like
Prime hurts a bit. Finding that.
Yeah, I would say the closest to good is probably still Plex. But even that is not good.
Yeah, Plex is just okay.
Yeah,
exactly. And they've been doing some interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. They've just added their Discover tab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is to some degree great and to some degree not, because the Discover tab doesn't take into account local content. At least for me, it didn't. So I wanted to watch a show, and it was always sending me to like some other app, and I'm like, I know it's in my library.
I just updated Plex several days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So update Plex and see if you get an option to include local content in your search.
Okay, I have to double check that. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I
did enable that.
To be fair, it's in beta.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, that's true. It is in beta.
It is in beta. So it's they working. Literally just shipped it to the beta customers. So.
Okay. Oh, I was watching The Batman. That must have been good. I forgot I was watching it. It sat there on Plex on three quarters of the way through. So clearly about three quarters of the way through, I just went, stopped.
Probably.
And then forgot I'd even started.
Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, yep.
But I was desperate for another Batman film.
And apparently you still are.
Yes.
Oh well.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry about your Batman experience. I have not started watching it yet. I was going to the other night, and I thought, well, wait, this is like a 3-hour movie, and I'll be done at like 1:30 in the morning, and if it turns out I don't like the movie, staying up that late knowing that I have to get up in like 5 hours after that, I'm going to be so angry. And I do not want to go to bed angry.
I am 2 hours and 4 minutes into it. And if you had a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you what that movie's about.
Probably remember the first 5 seconds. Like,
I don't remember John Turturro being in it. Okay. I'm sorry, everybody. Some people will be screaming at me now. It's a Batman film. It's your fault. It's not bad. You don't get it. Sorry, I just forgot I was watching it. What can I do about that?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. You know. Okay. Then let me give you a fairly recent movie that you can stream now that I thought was wonderfully fun.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Free Guy.
I haven't seen that yet, but I'm willing to watch that.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's the one where the guy discovers that he's part of a video game or something.
Yes,
or VR.
He's an NPC in a video game, in a VR video game.
Yeah,
and he comes to realize that his reality actually is being part of a video game. And
that's super interesting.
And you can pick all that up from the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trailer or even the description tells you as much.
Yes, and I won't elaborate on that because I don't want to toss out any spoilers. But I thought it was a wonderfully fun movie, and the cast I thought was really good, and it was just fun. All right.
Nice. Do you know what's also fun?
It's like you're reading my mind. What also is fun is the fact that I can be ready to say this show and all the others on the British Tech Network is sponsored by TSO Host. And Patrice, you know I'm about to say that. Yep. But it's true. This show and all the others is sponsored by DSL Hosts, which is fantastic because they give us the bandwidth we need to be able to stream quality and engaging content like this to you every single week. And they give us that space we need to actually have a website and to store files so that you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes later on. And that's awesome because not everyone has the ability in their schedule to hang out with us live and watch or listen as we're just rattling off all these amazing pithy comments. So what they're asking of us is that we head on over to social media and give them a thank you, give them a shout out, and thank them for being here to help support the British Tech Network, because seriously, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without their generous support. So go give them a thank you. And if you do need to buy domains or you need some hosting, hit them up for that and use the discount code BTN20 and that they'll give you a discount. They'll take care of you. So they're great. And thank you, TSO Host, for being our sponsor. Also, iMend Max. They're great because they're the place that can take care of your Apple gear without like trashing everything in it and replacing all the components just to fix a broken USB port. They go in, they figure out what's really wrong with your device and fix the parts that are actually screwed up. And that's great because that means less waste going into landfills. And it just means they're being more responsible with the way they take care of your products. And they're really smart and they know what they're doing. In addition to fixing your Apple gear, they will sell you stuff. They can lease you stuff. They can do data recovery. And because I've been following them on Instagram, I just recently learned that they have this whole gift section. And so you can do stuff like buy beautifully framed blow-aparts of Apple devices. And it's not just like a print. They actually physically take, say, like an iPhone and break it apart into its component elements and then mount those and frame them. And they look really great. And it's just another cool thing that you can get from iMend Max. So if you need to get your Apple gear fixed or you need to buy or lease anything, head in and make sure that they know that you're a BTN fan and they will give you a discount, which is awesome. So hit them up. And when you go in, assuming everyone is consenting, give Callum a hug for me and whisper in his ear, "This is from Jeff." And thank you to iMend Max for being our sponsor as well. All right. So Patrice, I'm sure you're reading my mind again, and you know I'm about to say, where can people find the chat?
Yeah, as if I read your mind, I know exactly where that is. If you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com while we are recording live. So that is Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time usually, and usually Fridays at 4 p.m. UK time, except for tomorrow. There's an hour later. There's a calendar on the website. Just check that out. Then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you can see all the links, like to the stories we talked about. I just put in a crap ton of links to stories that I didn't mention. Just because I had them, I'm like, okay, maybe someone else has interest in that. All the cool things we talked about, all the, like, if we have people in the chat, I don't know what is up today. Maybe the weather was too nice. There's nobody in the chat, but usually we have a couple of people there talking. It's like really cool to do that. So chat.britishtechnetwork.com. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact, which, let's face it, this is a podcast. So this is what it's for. Totally fine. In your favorite podcast player of choice, you can still get to all the links and all the cool things and everything. And all you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar that pops up. And then you navigate to today's date, that is the 21st of April, 2022. And there you will find everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you.
Maybe I've seen too many movies, but the idea of somebody coming and hugging me and whispering, "This is from Jeff," I'm then expecting that person to try and kill me in some way. I don't know. I've just like, they've got a knife hidden or whatever. Jeff says,
"What movies did you watch?"
Yeah. The big hug whispering in your, "This is from Jeff."
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. But this is Callum, and I would never.
No,
do that to Callum.
It's just it's so or
send my
movies.
Minions to do that. Yeah.
No, you would totally send your minions to do that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, from a logistics standpoint, I'd really have to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Time for the cool thing, Patrice. What do you have for us?
So I'm going to continue the trend of picking audiobooks that I have listened to, and I'm actually ahead a couple of books by now. The Expanse. I'm listening to the entire Expanse series after finishing the last three. And then we picked, like, I think 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, book one, Leviathan Wakes. This week I'm picking book two, Caliban's War. I don't want to spoil the story. If you've seen the TV show, obviously you know roughly what happens in the second season, I think even. but it's really, 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 really well done. It's well written. The stories are interesting. The characters, the more you learn about the characters, the more you love them. It's really interesting. Like you just like every like even if it's like an ancillary character like Miller, for example. Like the side characters that are like have some, they're there for a reason, but they're not like the main characters, the main crew. You still like them. They're still very well written and they feel like real people with like all the warts and all, like they say. Mm-hmm. So this is the second book. I'm on book. I literally today finished book four and I'm so excited to start book five. And I'm a little bit sad that it's already at five. So like it's really that good. Like I cannot, like once I started, I basically cannot stop listening to it. It's so good. And the story is super interesting. I'm trying to remember what happened in book two because it's been a while. The books are long-ish. It's like, I think 14, 16 hours or something of listening time. So obviously not so, well, you could probably listen to it in one day.
That'd be a long day.
It's been a long day, yeah, and probably you're not gonna. So it takes but it's fine. Like there are plenty of chapters. There are a lot of chapters, so there's a lot of chances to say, okay, I'm gonna stop here, and then the next chapter I'll continue. But it's so hard to do that because you're like, oh, what happens next? I want to know. And there are, like, even if you have seen the show, there are a lot of details and a lot of extra things. And sometimes the show, because it's a TV show, they have to take some shortcuts in the story and jump over things or rewrite things to make them like make more sense in the time frame and the format and the visual format that they have and mm-hmm. you know, physics and stuff like that also play a role. Or like props and budgets and all that stuff. The show is really good, but the book gives you more of that. It really feels like that. It's not that the show is bad or the book kind of is like boring extra stuff nobody needed. It's kind of like you just feel like it gives you more insights, more mm-hmm. to that story, and that makes it really interesting.
Yeah, to me, it's like the books versus the TV series. They're both really great tellings mm-hmm. of the same story. They yeah. just tell it in slightly different ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And,
which is how I've always looked at Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Me too.
It's just different mediums. And so you tell the story in a different way that's appropriate mm-hmm. for that medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm behind you, Patrice, because I haven't finished the entire series yet. I I'm reading like eyeball reading as opposed to audible book reading.
Yeah, I do audible. So
and last night I downloaded Persepolis Rising. So yes. I think that's what book seven.
I think that's seven.
I'm getting close to the end of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, the end is so good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but is it like the every book, like I finish it and I'm just so excited. Like I'm so excited about the book. I'm a little bit sad that it's over and I'm really excited about the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the last book was the worst, kind of, because it's so good.
And you know there's no more.
There's no more. And you're like, oh, yeah. I want more.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like those TV shows that end prematurely and you're like, I want more. Where does it go?
Right.
Like Star Trek Universe. I have that problem with it. Every time I watch it, I kind of don't want to watch it anymore because I'm like, I always get sad because it just ends.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Same for Firefly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. All right. Rich, what do you have for us?
I have a new website that I discovered yesterday called VidLQ, which I gather people have heard of before me, and I'm a bit late to the party. I don't know. This is a YouTube helper app.
I've not heard of it.
As in for sort of people who make YouTube. So it's, if you've got a channel, this is a thing to look into, apparently. And I started off with the free app, the free version a couple of days ago. And what it will do, it's looking at your stats and your channel and your users and that kind of thing. And it will give you, amongst other things, AI generated title recommendations for your videos. And it sort of spits out a couple a day, more if you pay more. I've just while we've been doing just before we started, I upgraded to the pro plan, which is $10 a month, but I gather the one you really want is the boost plan, which is $49 a month. We'll see how well I do at first. But yesterday's video that I put on my channel was a video done, recommended by this AI title generator. And it's actually doing really well. So it's left me thinking, worth trying this again and seeing how that goes. So I will let you know. I'm going to go through a period of just picking titles from this AI generated list. We'll see what comes up over the next week. And we'll see if it actually helps grow the channel and bring people in and that kind of thing. It could be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It might be a waste of £8, but we'll see. It's not the biggest gamble I've ever taken. And it's telling me things like, you know, how popular keywords related to my channel are, and what there's a lot of stuff that's sort of replicated from YouTube Studio, but there's some stuff here that might be useful. We'll see how it goes. And I can compare competitors. I didn't know I had any, but I can find some. And we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Might be interesting. There are lots of these things that are supposed to help out YouTube creators, and I know none of them. So I'm always open to suggestions and trying stuff out like that. I've tried one called TubeBuddy before.
I've heard of that one.
That was okay, but not massively helpful. So I'm willing to give this kind of thing a go. So we'll see what happens. It's this sort of thing. I only find them when people come to me and go, have you tried this yet? Because what do you Google for this? Just thing to make my YouTube big, like whatever, that you can't do that. So these often come as recommendations. So they're a bit few and far between.
This is really cool. All right. I need to check this out. Awesome. Okay.
VidLQ.com.
All right. And my pick, my favorite part about this is that Patrice, you sent me a link before the show, you know, one of the, hey, have you seen this yet?
Mm-hmm.
And of course I had, because that's just how my world works.
Because you're Mr. Lego, right?
Because I'm Mr. Lego. Yep, there's a new Lego kit coming out on May the 4th, of course. And this is part of the Ultimate Kit series that they do. So they're like bigger models. They have a lot more detail in them. And this one is Luke Skywalker's Landspeeder. And it looks really nice. I have one of the land speeder kits that it's nice. It's much smaller. It's more like actual minifigure scale. This one is much bigger. The little one was nice, but this one is really nice and it looks really good. And it has a lot of great details in it. It's $200, but that's pretty much normal for a kit like this. It is 20 inches long when it's built, and it's a big kit, and it comes on a stand, and it has Luke Skywalker and C-3PO little minifigures to go on the base, and they look absolutely dwarfed next to the model. It is 1,890 pieces, so at $200, it's just a little bit overpriced per brick when you look at what the baseline cost is. However, you're also paying a Star Wars license fee. So the kits can cost a little bit more. But it's not bad because, you know, we're looking at a kit that costs $200, but for the number of bricks, it should be $190. So it's only $10 more. So that's not bad per brick especially for a Star Wars kit. Mm-hmm. And it is just really, really cool looking.
Yeah. You know what I want? The next Star Wars thing should be the Delta Flyer.
I would love that, Patrice. I'm with you. I want the next Star Wars kit to be the Delta Flyer as well. You know, and related to that, I really wish that Lego had a license to be able to do Paramount stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely missing. That would be massive,
it would be huge, and they'd be able to do it really, really well. Mm-hmm. That license, I'm assuming, isn't there because Mega Bloks has a license for Star Trek properties.
Maybe in the future
we can live in
things
hope.
Change change.
I mean, I would love to see official Lego kits for the Delta Flyer and shuttlecrafts and
Defiant
would make a great Lego kit.
Deep Space Nine, like a massive Deep Space Nine.
That would be a really cool kit too. Yes.
I mean, how big that would have to be, but okay.
I saw a thing earlier this week where this guy made a Deep Space Nine for some conference, and it's so big he had to start with the metal framework to support the weight of the structure, and then build the Lego kit around it. And the diameter, I think it's like 7 feet across.
I mean, it just shows you, like, something that was built for space, it's hard to do on a planet.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It gravity is the big problem with that kit or with that build. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right. Anyhow, Luke Skywalker's land speeder, and I am looking forward to the day when I get one of these in my hands and can build it, because it looks really nice. All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, as always, except for next week, because I'm traveling, you can find me on The Big Show every Thursday and also on The Mac Show every Friday with Jeff. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the like projects I do, podcasts, blogs, all of that, you can find on thepatrice.com. There's also a Buy Me a Coffee link if you want to support the things I'm doing. I always appreciate it. And if you want to listen to like really interesting people talk about food and their food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube at Early Morning Barking, or at Barking on Twitter, and Early Morning Barking on Instagram as well, where I'm posting lots more stuff of late. I still quite like Instagram.
I have a lot of fun with Instagram.
It's good, isn't it? It's just pictures of dogs and things like that. It's easy going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get caught up in stuff. Like, it's not Twitter, which you think, I won't look at. And then you open it and you see something, you think, oh,
and then 2 hours later, you're like, I didn't want to look at that.
Yeah. Why am I angry now? I didn't care before. Go away. And all mm-hmm. of that. Instagram doesn't have that. Instagram just has, here's a dog. You're like, yeah, cool.
Right. Yep. Here's someone that was away for a year and came home and their dog freaks out because they're so happy to see them.
That's mm-hmm. the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And here's the awesome food.
Here's the awesome food. Look at how cute this cat is and the way it snuggles up against the baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the feel good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I dropped a link into the chat for the episode of Context Machine where Brandon and I talk about the holodeck and our dystopian technology future.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely worth listening to.
Oh, thanks. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yep. And our episode that we recorded today is what, Thursday? So we recorded it on Wednesday, should be up anytime now. I picked up a little Kindle, one of the little 7 or 6 inch screen models.
Because I have one of those. They're great.
I got a super deal on it. And, you know, picking up that for $45 versus spending $100 to put a new battery in my iPad mini 4. It's like, okay, this will be a fun experiment. So we do a discussion comparing the Kindle versus the iPad mini as a ebook reading experience. So it was a fun discussion. Anyhow, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut on both. And youtube.com/jgamut for my videos. Obviously now on the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, where we're talking about stuff that is at least interesting to Patrice, and that's enough for me. most Tuesday evenings on Mac Voices Live here on the Big Show, Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, and then Friday mornings on the Mac Show. Tomorrow's Mac Show is going to start an hour later, and that's because I have a big honking schedule conflict, and there you go. So we'll be starting an hour later for that. Hey, thank you to thank you to all three of us for being here, but especially you two.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. It's this is always so much fun. I really enjoy getting to spend time with both of you, and then I get to do it again tomorrow, Patrice, with you. So I feel very lucky that I get to hang out with such awesome people. And everyone that's with us live, hey, thanks for watching or listening live. And if you're in the chat, thanks for being part of that. Everyone that watches or listens later, so glad you're part of this too. Everyone rocks for just being part of the BTN family. Thanks to TSO Host for being our sponsor. Give them some love online and thank them for being here for us. And also, I'm in Max. Thank you for being awesome and supporting us as well. So big thanks all the way around to everyone. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show. And it is starting an hour later. And we'll see you next week for the Big Show and the Mac Show. And everyone have an awesome weekend.